just as long as you stand, stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me.
Oh. This is Steve Dale's Other World, and sitting right across from me is a very important person for a whole lot of reasons. He's a chaplain with the Chicago Police Department, Robert Montelongo. And what prompted me, Bob, to say, I'd love to have you on a podcast. You and I were at a public event, and you said, you know, it's been tough. I said, well, yeah, you know, being involved with the Chicago or any municipal city police department is tough now. And he said, no, it's the suicide rate. And in fact, there was a story, I think it was maybe the Tribune in Chicago. And this is, I suspect, not only a Chicago issue, but a national issue.
That's correct.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, it is a national issue. It's an issue that police departments all over the nation and possibly all over the world have struggled with. Police work is tough, very tough work, and it is sometimes very fulfilling. And sometimes it can be, well, a little burdensome on your soul. So we have this problem, and of course in Chicago we're having this problem. We've had quite a few already this year. And
how many?
The exact amount, I don't know.
More than a handful?
More than a handful is a good answer.
We'd be surprised.
Yes, you would.
It's terrible. Now, I want to talk about what's going on a national level. Police officers, when I was growing up as a kid, it was officer friendly, you know, and police were thought of in a very good way. I don't know what happened where that changed, but to an extent, I think it has. And I don't think it matters what city you're in. And I, to a degree, maybe the neighborhood you're in has something to do with it. To a degree, it doesn't.
Well, it's definitely a problem that across the nation, police officers are painted with a very wide brush of negativity. And it comes from different locations in our society. Many people, our leaders, just run with this. And it's sad because police officers are out there doing what we in the chaplain's unit call God's work. And
well, it is. And I'm stopping you there only because if right now something happened in this building, who would we call? If I walk outside this building when we're done talking and something happens to me where someone accosts me, who am I going to call? When people run, and you've heard it said before, everyone else runs out, it is the first responders, which include the police, that run in.
That's correct. And even with the recent tragedy, I'm seeing this on the news as it's
you're talking about
out.
What happened in Las Vegas when we're taping this.
That's correct.
Right.
I'm watching it from home, and I guarantee you 100% of all police officers watching it on whatever TV, social media, all felt, oh, I wish I could have been there. Because officers do want to make a difference. They do want to help. It's why they got on the job. Even though we kind of chuckle when we say, I'm here to help people. But it's very true. It's kind of like a cliche.
Well, okay, we could talk about the shooting in Las Vegas. Sadly, some off-duty and on-duty police officers were killed. But there are stories that have come out of heroism, where if it were not for individual police, mostly on duty, other people wouldn't have survived.
That's correct. And they're just heroes. They're there. The officers that were there, the officers who gave that ultimate sacrifice of themselves are truly heroes. And like I said, I'm sure 100% every officer out there in their mindset, oh, I wish I could have been there wanting to help.
Which says something about the psyche of police officers and why you go into that field in the first place. But then what is causing this nationwide? I mean, you're in Chicago, but you pointed out nationwide rash of suicides.
There are many reasons. There are truly many reasons. Problems at home, problems at the job with the supervisors. There's so many things, financial problems.
So those problems that you describe, problems at home, financial problems, problems with the boss.
Right.
That happens no matter what your job is.
Correct.
You know, yet the suicide rate is escalating, and it is, to my knowledge, above what it is in the general population. So there must be something else.
There is, and it's the stress. It's the traumatic incidents that we see day in.
Well, every day you go to work and you don't know if you're going to be here for the next day.
That's correct. And that's, you know, it's something that, you know, we leave the door thinking about, but it's something that's very true. And it's something that's very true for the families, because that sacrifice of going out and not knowing if you're coming home is also a family sacrifice, because your wife, your children, your husbands don't know the same thing either. And it's their sacrifice as well. Every day when they go out, their family sacrifices. Those who have been killed in the line of duty, the ultimate sacrifice, and true heroes, their family sacrificed a whole lot as well. You take this job, you're putting your family up with it too.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but it makes perfect sense that it is that way. I mean, when people go off to war and they're fighting for our country, they leave their spouse at home, but their spouses are with them in a sense.
Right.
And their spouses are feeling all of the emotional angst that I can't even imagine. And to have that happen every single day when your spouse leaves for work, that's got to be difficult. But that's part of what your job is, I suppose. So what does a chaplain do with the Chicago Police Department any city police department?
Well, we do many things. First, we take care of police graduations. Next week we're going to have the Lambert Tree and the Carter Award at City Hall, and we'll go and give invocation there.
What is that?
The Lambert Tree and the Carter Awards, they're the highest awards that you get in the fire department and the police department, and it happens at City Hall. So
that's a good part of your job.
Those are the good parts.
Yeah.
We get to meet individual officers. A lot of them want to come and talk to us and talk about their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all the great parts when we can go and share with other officers. Of course, there's the moments a chaplain has to deal with someone killed in the line of duty.
And then you talk with the family?
Make notifications, talk with the family.
So are you the guy that actually knocks on the door?
Well, yes, we try to be. And we try our best to beat social media to get there.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about at all.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, a death may be reported in the media, traditional or social, but that's not how, if I'm a spouse, how I'd want to hear about it, of course.
Correct. And in the department, it's a community, so when something happens, the community starts to share in social media, and you try to beat it.
Yeah. What's the solution to all of this, do you think? Now, that's a broad question, so let me narrow it down a little bit. So I want to talk about the suicides. Are resources there for police officers who are concerned? And if they are there, then are they being used?
There are resources. With the Chicago Police Department, we have our employee assistance program, which does great work. The people there are awesome. And once again, any officer out there, please, if you have a problem, talk to them. They're there. It's confidential. Also, our chaplain's unit. We're open to anyone who wants to talk.
Is it really confidential?
Yes, it is.
Is that one of the concerns?
That is one of the concerns.
That my boss is going to hear what I'm saying, or that pride, is that another issue?
I would say so, because you don't want others to find out that maybe you can't control a certain situation, whether it's at home, where it's personal. And we're called as police officers to control many situations out on the street.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I would say, yeah.
How many years have you been doing this?
As a chaplain?
Mm-hmm.
6 years.
How did you sort of fall into this? What did you do previously?
Well, I've been a police officer with the Chicago Police Department for 20 years. Previously, I was a Cook County Sheriff for 5. The last 6 years, I've been serving as a chaplain, and that came about, it actually came about from a suicide that happened in one of my teams when we were in the targeted response unit. And that really struck me, and I always had that in the back of my head. But then I went on to become a deacon in the Catholic Church, and I've been a deacon since 2012 for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And from there, I became a chaplain for the police department. It was a perfect fit, and my job becomes my way to help other officers. I always say that's the thing I love, because now I can focus 100% on helping my brother and sister's officers who I love.
Well, you understand also what it's like. I mean, there'd be nothing wrong, I suppose, with pulling a chaplain in a private person who's never worked in law enforcement. But you did work in law enforcement for more than a couple of decades. What's the toughest thing about being a police officer?
That's a good question, and I think you'd get a variety of answers. But if you ask me, I think the toughest thing is when there's, again, as I said, like I mentioned at the start, when that broad stroke of negativity on your profession paints on you, and you feel it, and you think, no, today I did this, and I was out there doing my job. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
On 43rd, recent shootings where officers have been hit by gunfire, both happened at the same intersection, 43rd and Ashland on the south side. And the first two officers were shot at by rifles, and they were struck, and they returned fire, and these officers are heroes. And I just spoke to one of them, and he's ready to get back to work. After them was a female officer who responded to a robbery, and she was shot in her knee. And it's just courageous. And I think people, if they would see that officers do so much for them, you know, to go forward when a robbery call, where there's gun, you know they have a gun, and you're going to go. You're in a firefight with them, but you still want to be out there, still be the police. It's an incredible thing to see. Those officers are awesome. They're heroes, and that's a perfect example where they go out there and they do it, regardless of what any negativity that's placed upon them. They see a need, and they go out there.
Does the weaponry often of the bad guys exceed what the weaponry is for police?
I don't know if I would say often, but it does happen.
Police don't have automatic weapons, typically, for example.
Typically, no. That would be specialized units.
Right.
All our weapons, even our carbines, are semi-automatic. So, but that does happen, and it's happened across our nation. But typically, I would say not so often, but it does happen.
So why is it that, and I, if you have an answer to this, great. I can't help but ask, and I guess by asking the question, I'm also making a statement. If there's one officer somewhere, anywhere in the country, that does something wrong, do you know how many police officers there are in America? Do you have any idea?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't either, but there are thousands and thousands, right?
Chicago, I think, is roughly around 10,000 right now. Used to be 13,000
okay.
strong.
So imagine, multiplied right. by all the cities in America, state police and everything else, thousands of law enforcement. If somebody, anybody, does something, and you name the city, Denver, El Paso, I'm just rambling, you know, it doesn't matter, random cities, does something bad, it makes the news. When police officers do something good, which happens every day, you're about to present awards, it may make news if there's like a big award ceremony and the mayor's there and all that, but typically it does not make the news.
It does not.
Is that one of the things that does bother you?
That's a good question, because as a police officer, we would all say, I know it, that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for recognition of what of anything you've done. You go and you do your job, and the satisfaction is you've helped somebody, you know, and you've heard it before where somebody calls someone a hero and they say, I'm not a hero, I'm just doing my job. And that's exactly, I think, the sentiment of all police officers have. But it's still nice to see someone who appreciates what you're doing out there.
After 9/11, I was involved in a program in Chicago, and it just happened to be after 9/11. that ultimately turned into Safe Humane Chicago, and I was one of the early folks involved in all this, and we met the police superintendent, who we talked about the value of this particular program, which has to do with dogs, but he gave me a cap, not an officer's cap. It's like a baseball cap that says Chicago Police Department, and a mug and some other things. But I couldn't have been more proud. And also at that same time, I purchased a fireman's cap, baseball cap, because after 9/11, we all had this feeling in our hearts, I think most of America, appreciating law enforcement and firefighters that were first responders. Am I right about that appreciation? And 9/11 wasn't, sadly, all that long ago. What happened?
That's a good question.
Am I right that people, I mean, I remember myself, I'd walk down the street and I would say thank you randomly, I still do that, to police officers. But I wasn't the only one doing it back then. And right. Now I might be the only one doing it, unfortunately, in a certain location. You know, I mean, other right. people do it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And it does happen. You know, it still happens to me sometimes. But I'll tell you what, a really nice thing that a lot of communities are doing, the Garfield Ridge community is one of them. They have their national night outs, and they have their regular meetings, and they'll promote putting blue lights on your porch light, having a blue light out there. They'll have blue ribbons tied around the trees. And, you know, when you drive through those communities and you see one, two, three porches with blue lights, it feels good. It feels good that they're out there. And a simple light, you know, blue light.
So if I put, I'm the president of our condo association. Okay. I might be able to get this done. So if I put out blue-colored light bulbs that I imagine I can get at Home Depot or wherever, mm-hmm. if I did that, would police understand what that's for? Or would they think, that's weird, why would those people do that? Maybe the light bulbs were on sale. I mean, would they understand what that means? And would other, I don't know that my neighbors would understand what that means.
Right. Not too many people probably would understand. But I think police officers will see it. And if they weren't sure, they would probably think, I wonder if that's for us. Hmm. But a little sign, thank you, CPD, you know, will just, you know, make that, that'll do it. They'll know you're thanking them with those blue lights.
Are there not enough thank yous? Is that part of the problem? It's not that you want the press attention, but you're human beings that right. do amazing things.
Well, I don't know. But it is one thing that the community can do to help their police officers. You can imagine what police officers must be going through, like you say, with everything that's going on. And they're still out there courageously. They go out there and they don't stop. They're out there doing the work. They respond to these calls. They're out there and they do it every day. And it's who they are.
Are the court systems part of the frustration? So here's what happens. You catch someone, and I'm going to make you answer honestly. So you catch someone doing a bad thing, not necessarily murder, but a robbery or something that's bad enough. And by the next day, you see that same person back out on the street.
That's a common, you know, complaint.
But that's got to be frustrating.
It is. It is. But that's the way our law system is set up. A person can post their bond and be out by the next day.
Well, it's one thing if you, I mean, I'm thinking at times I would rather rob someone than park illegally, because parking illegally, I pay more money and I get in more trouble. You know, I mean, I don't mean that literally, but not far from it.
It seems like, but I guess it seems like that, but because there is, you know, okay, I have to pay this and you have to do it. Whereas that thought where, oh, someone gets arrested and they're right back on the street, which may be true to a certain level if, you know, if it's a minor crime. We are in a big city.
Yeah.
So, for example, something that would get you, you know, kind of a pat on the, you know, I don't know what to call it, just a quick in mm-hmm. and out of the court system in our city. In a small city in some rural area might be a couple of days or maybe a couple of months mm-hmm. inside. It's just different. It's the big city.
Yeah. So what can we do in the big city? So the terminology a couple of years ago was community policing and having the community actually be involved. Some of that's kind of gone away. Do you think that you'd like to see it come back? And or maybe just the terminology but not the idea went away?
The idea is still around, and they still use the term. And it's something that's welcomed. Community policing, when you go out there and you meet the community, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet them. You're out there with them. You know who they are. In every community, somebody might say, oh, that's a bad community. Don't go there. But there's beautiful people in those communities.
You bet.
I've met them. And it's sad because you kind of feel like they're prisoners there. But there needs to be with the community that they understand us, and we understand them, but that they understand us. And they don't just listen to what their neighbor next door who received 5 parking tickets or, that's always been part of our job as police officers. If I go and I write a ticket, or somebody goes through the yellow, but it actually turned red on them, and you write them a ticket, when they get home, the ego prevents one person from saying, you know what? That officer was great. He got me. He came out of nowhere. I had no idea where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write the mayor, tell him what a great job that officer did.
That doesn't happen.
That don't happen.
No. But I would argue that for a parking tickets anyway, in a big city such as Chicago, police have better things to do. And in fact, mostly the Department of Revenue is doing that, and police rarely do that. And I will tell you, as a citizen, I get ticked off if I see a police officer, because I live right across a spot where from, I think it's 7 to 9, you cannot park this stretch of street. I never even understood why, but nevertheless, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And when a police officer shows up at 2:05 waiting, come on. That's what the police have to do? That's silly. If a Department of Revenue person does that, I still get ticked off, but I don't get ticked off at the police then.
Yeah, don't get ticked off at the police. They're just doing their job.
But should that be their job?
It's part of it. I think that it is important that we out there and enforce those parking laws, or else parking would be crazy in the city.
Can you imagine
if there was no enforcement for parking laws?
Yeah, you and I can have a private conversation about that. It's one thing if you're parking in front of a fire hydrant or a handicap space, but looking at your watch and saying, oh, I've got 3 minutes, I could ticket him, he's not here. Police officers doing that? I think the police officers are overqualified for that, number one. Number two, in any part of the city I know, sadly, there are better things that police officers could be doing to use appropriate talents. And so people don't have to wait as long when they call for police. And, if I'm calling for police, I want them to show up. And I don't want it to be not showing up because someone's writing a parking ticket. I mean, there are only so many people out there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I know for sure is
if
I'm writing a parking ticket, I'm not what we call down on it. I'm not... I'm still up
available.
On the board. They will be available. So that doesn't, if something were to happen and the officer hears it, even though he's in the middle of, I've done it many times, in the middle of a ticket, just leave and respond to a call. Come back and not have a half-filled ticket because the car is gone. But that just gets taken care of internally. But it's happened. And we don't down ourselves to write a parking ticket.
All right. So, more importantly than parking tickets,
what
can people do to... So we talked about community policing. We talked about saying thank you. Is there something else that people can do to help?
Sure, give them $100 each. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, letting them know. It really means a lot. I worked in a pretty bad community before, and I came to the bicycle unit here in downtown, and people started waving and saying hello, and I at first it was strange. It's like, it was strange. It really was, but I got used to it. And so, but that really means a lot. You know, you if just like you said, you do all the time, officer. So, thank you for what you do.
So is the, it's a tough topic to talk about, but is the community that you're in plays some role in this? I wonder if the suicides are higher for police officers, and I have no idea, for police officers, officers that are more at risk.
I couldn't give you an answer.
It would be an interesting question. It's an, you know, so in a community that has very little crime, whatever city that is in America, maybe suburban somewhere that has very little crime, but whatever city it is, if you're a police officer there, the job's different for sure. And I wonder if that level of risk, which isn't quite as great, would lend itself to fewer suicides. Having said that, I suspect that no matter where you're a police officer in 2017 or 18 or 19, there's risk.
There is. And
because we've seen, we saw, you mentioned Las Vegas. I mean, that's on the Las Vegas Strip. Mandalay Bay is a high-end hotel. I've stayed there many times for a veterinary conferences, a veterinary conference I've been going to now like 20 years. So I'm there once a year. Every year, I believe I stayed on that same floor this year. So who would have expected, you know?
Right. Police work is different. And people, maybe they don't quite understand it. And maybe that's it. Educating people about what a police officer does. Just imagine you taking a job where the ultimate thing you could do, the ultimate thing that's asked of you, is to draw your weapon and fire on someone who might be trying to take the life of somebody else or maybe trying to take your life. That's it. And then you do it. And then the moment you do it, you're being investigated. You're put inside a, you know, police car. They check your gun gets inventoried. You start going through a process to find out. It's you start basically almost, if you will, like a court proceeding.
It's know? Almost like as if you're the criminal.
And it, you have to go through all this. But you've just been called to do the to give of yourself in such a way that you had to fire your weapon in the line of duty. Because
is that,
it's difficult.
So you might have gotten to the crux of something here because I imagine 15 years ago that wasn't the case, at least to the extent that it is today. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, but if you had fired your weapon 15 years ago, the public, your colleagues would believe there was a good reason to do it, and you might not have been asked a heck of a lot. Today, it's almost like who's guilty here?
Right. Well, and it seems that way. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that, and we did have it 15 years ago. I'm not saying we shouldn't have it, but I was just giving the thought of who would take a job like that? The one thing, this is it, now you're going to go through a whole whirlwind and even a lawsuit can come from it and you'll be 10 years bogged down in the court system, afraid maybe you're going to lose your home, afraid maybe, you know, all these things. That's high stress. That's
I can't
very
imagine.
High stress.
Yeah. And all you did potentially was defend yourself or somebody else.
Correct. Correct.
And maybe saved a life in the process of doing it.
Mm-hmm. I like to say a police officer does more for a community. Well, I'll say it this way. A police officer in one shift does more for a community than those who would paint them with that negative brush, that wide negative brush, just in one shift going out there and being there for the people.
I think that's a good way to end it. Hopefully people have given this a listen, taken the time to do it, and I also hope that people think about police a little differently.
I wanted to bring up one more thing.
Sure.
About what's being done. The department just put out a video for us officers to see and reminding us of what resources we can go to. But even within the department, several years ago, I went and knocked on the door of a police officer and had to tell her that her 17-year-old daughter killed herself by jumping in front of a train. But fast forward just recently, she approached me, and through her faith and who she is, came up with a brilliant idea. We've been working on it. It's called, we're calling it STAR. and it's Suicide, Trauma, and Recovery. And it's a support group, basically, for anyone within the Chicago Police Department world who's been touched by suicide, where they can go and speak of it and talk. And if those who need help, being able to send them to proper, you know, places to get this help. It's brilliant. So the heart of a police officer is there, and I just wanted to bring her up. She's doing great work, and we really appreciate it. And I think more and more you're going to see that, the police community itself saying, okay, we're going to take care. We're going to help ourselves.
That's a good thing, mm-hmm. And my hope is that other cities do the same thing, actually. Yeah. So we can replicate the good that Chicago does as well. And there's lots of it. You're part of it. The Chicago Police overall, as an organization, are totally part of it. And the Chicago Fire Department, too.
Correct.
Robert Montelongo, police chaplain with the Chicago Police Department. We will talk again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.